Welcome to Homegirl Nation. I'm your host, Bridget Truong. The newly released romantic drama Past Lives really came out of the gates blazing hot when it made its world premiere at this year's Sundance Film Festival. RollingStone.com is saying it's already the best movie of the year, while 76 reviews have given the film a certified fresh rating of 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. So what is this highly anticipated movie all about? Well, based on all the buzz so far, you might think that Past Lives is this mind-blowingly unheard-of concept, but it's not, and that's part of its magic. Past Lives is a simple story about two childhood crushes in South Korea, whose lives go in different directions when Na Young, later known as Nora, played by the brilliant Greta Lee, is forced to immigrate to Toronto with her family. 12 years later, she's reunited on Facebook with her childhood friend, Hai Sung, played by the incredibly handsome Teo Yu. Now, the reconnection turns into somewhat of a FaceTime relationship where the adult connection becomes more intense than they had intended, especially for Nora, who in the early stages of her playwright career in New York City decides to pump the brakes on Hai Sung, who's still in Seoul, Korea. It would take another 12 years for them to reunite in person, at which point Nora is happily married to another New York writer, Arthur, played by John Magaro. What happens next between the three? Well, you're just going to have to go to the theaters to find out. I've already seen it, and I'm excited to do just that again. I loved it. I really can't wait to see it again. And I can't begin to express how thrilled I am that today's guest is the woman, the writer, and the director of Past Lives, Celine Song. This is her debut as a feature film director, and with so much of the story rooted in her life and so much hype around it already, I can't wait to dig in. Let's meet Celine. I'm so thrilled to talk to you. Let's just dive right into it because I know we don't have very much time to explore
your
magnificent debut and just some of the headlines, some of the reviews you're getting. Breakout film, a masterpiece, a note-perfect directorial debut. And with all those things in mind, I want to refer to that existential question that Arthur asks Nora in bed, which is this what you imagine for yourself? Is this where you're meant to be?
I think that the way that I feel about all of that is like, you know, when you're making the film, the best thing you can do, only thing that you can do, it's not even the best thing, it's the only thing that is possible to do, is to really try to make something that is, that feels true to you, or like feels right to you, or something that you feel like is as honest as it can be. That, and you just have to hope that if you are doing that within good faith and you're doing your best in that way, the audience is going to come meet you there. And audience is going to be open with it, open with their hearts and their souls to sort of come, like, find me there and find a movie there. And I think to me, at the heart of everything, I think that's been the most exciting part. So there's amazing, you know, responses and everything, reviews and everything. I think some of it has been about letting go when I was actually making the movie. So now that it's sort of those things are there, that just makes me so excited and like happy. And I'm just glad that it does mean that, hopefully it does mean that more people are going to see it. Because I think that there are going to be people who's going to feel like they need it or they needed it.
Totally. And it must feel extra special because a lot of what we see is deeply rooted in your personal life and your personal story. So I'm wondering how much of this story, how much of this movie is a reflection of lived experience and how much of it was fiction?
Well, I think that I talk about it sometimes as like an adaptation of my life or inspired by. But I think at the heart of it, the thing that was guiding me is less facts or details or something like that. It is so much more about the kind of what it feels like to me personally to live in the world that I do, in the body that I live in, and then from the with the history that I have, that is really specific. And I think that to me, all I could do was do my best to sort of like describe that honestly without bullshit, you know? So yeah. I think that is at the heart of like what I could do when I'm making this movie before, without getting tied up in the whatever specifics or something like that. Because at the end of the day, it's a movie. And it's at the end of the day, it's about story and character.
Mm-hmm. You know, Celine, watching this film, I felt a lot. That last, I don't want to give too much away, but the last moment where they're both walking, or one of the last moments where they're both walking together, it got me good. And as a second generation Chinese Canadian, I was never taught or encouraged to express my feelings and emotions. That's just not culturally the background that I grew up in. So I'm curious, for you, what were some of the challenges or rewards that you encountered while you were navigating this emotional landscape of past lives as someone with a multicultural background?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that the way that my immigration story, or like the way that I really perceive myself as in terms of like my existence and my identity or something like that, I think it really cannot speak for everybody's. But the way that I sort of feel in it is that, you know, first of all, I mean, I'm a huge crier. I cry all the time. It's like, so to me, it's like the way that I feel emotionally connected to something, or like the way that I connect, the way that I sort of perceive what a story like this could do for me, I think in general, is sort of like guided by something that is so as specific as what the movie is. Like, I felt very specifically about, I think Nora is a very specific character. You know, her parents are artists, and she is somebody who is like living in a very specific kind of emotional space. So, but I don't think that, you know, like because of her strength and everything, I don't know if she, I think something that me and Greta were talking about is I was like, no, you would not cry here, right? You would not cry here. This is not the moment to cry. But then of course, when there is an expression of emotion, it's like, I know that some of it has to be earned and some of it has to mean something too. It's something where it is so much about her after 24 years, accepting that she also was that little girl too, and she's able to grieve that little girl. I think that it is, of course, like closing the doors and then like the other possibilities and feelings of loss. I think those are also part of the reasons that she has this outpouring of emotion. But I think the heart of it is about grieving the little girl that she didn't even think that she needed to grieve until that moment. Because, and what's amazing about Hezam coming to visit Nora, 14-hour flight, to do for her is that he, in trying to close his own door of this door that he felt like he needed to close, he also allowed Nora to grow and understand that she also left that little girl behind, and she actually deserves to be grieved. So she actually deserves to be said goodbye to. So I think that's where the emotion is. So it's not really about expressing emotion. It is so much more about, okay, what is this emotion about? What is the ritual of crying too? It's a ritual of grieving of this little girl too. And I think that to me was at the heart of what the outpouring of emotion is. It's not just an expression. It's also a story plot. It's a plot. It's part of story, you know, mm-hmm. that she is then allowed to let herself be alone. She's going to allow herself to grieve this little girl from there. She didn't think that needed to be grieved until Hesan came to visit her.
And Greta did an unbelievable job at bringing all of this to life. Like, I mean, you know, watching this, I'm thinking as a 13-year-old kid, I would have loved to see Greta on the screen. It would have made such an impact for me. If you asked me, who would you like to play as you in a movie, I would say Greta Lee. And I never did before because I just didn't know the power of Greta Lee until now. So for you, having her step into your shoes in a sense and bring your vision to life and your experiences to life, what was that like?
Well, I think that it was also a discovery for her as well, right, this movie. So I think it was such a journey that we really took together. And I think to me, I really thought of her as a partner on set too. I was like, okay, I know that what this has to be is something where, because the whole movie has at the heart of it, or at the core, at the burning center of it, has to be Nora. So it really was about how she was going to navigate through this, like, many emotions, sometimes holding back emotions, sometimes pouring out emotion. And I think that in doing so, like, you know, I think making a movie with actors for me is so much like it is like a marriage, or it is like such a deep partnership, because every day that you point a camera at them, and then it's like it lives and dies on their faces, right? It lives and dies in the way that they deliver the line. So it is like there to me, Greta is my work, but that's Greta in this movie was the work of past lives for me. So I think at the end of the day, what I want more than anything for people to take away from Greta's performance is that she's a great actress. And she's capable of so much. And I think that to me, at the heart of it, that's the thing that I feel the most connected to. And I think that it was also something that I was discovering myself as a director, as she was discovering herself in playing Nora.
Wow, that's beautiful. And I'm sure, was that surprising?
Which part?
The connection that you made on set, during the making of the film.
Well, I think that I just didn't know another way to do it. So I think some of it is about the, it sometimes it's about a it just must happen, or like it's a bit about like a survival thing of like, you know, like, and I know that for her, it was as much, her stakes were so high as well. And I could always relate to her on that level of like, I know that this is about my debut as a filmmaker. And I know that this is you're also showing up in a for yourself in that way too. And I know that we can both do it only because we don't have another option. Like we have to be great, you know. Like I knew Greta would be great because I knew she had to be, and she knew that she had to be.
I want to go back to you talking about cutting out the bullshit, because today's mm-hmm. audience can pick up on the bullshit very mm-hmm. easily. But the romance genre itself, we have seen some great films and we have seen some cheesy flops, of course. In your opinion and your experience in the genre right now, what are those essential elements that makes a romantic movie stick?
I think that I can only speak for like what makes me connected to a romantic story. Mm-hmm. And I think that it has to be something that makes emotional and psychological sense to an ordinary person. And I think at the end of the day, if it is really about the way it feels like to be in love or to fall in love and to fight for love or to lose love in our lives, I think that just like anything that is worth connecting to, I think that the audience will connect to it. So to me, if it ever feels like bullshit, if it ever feels like it's not real or the emotions are not real or anything, I think that's when we're going to maybe lose interest. But I think that as long as the thing is made with integrity when it comes to human emotion and human connection and psychology and everything, I think that you can always walk away from that with somebody who has connected with it.
One of the things I noticed right off the bat when I knew and heard about this film was the attachment of A24, of course. Hmm. A24 has had, you know, quite a unique history in the past 10 years of really rooting for, championing the underdog story and creative risks that they take. For you, was it a no-brainer to partner with them?
Well, to me, the thing that I feel so grateful and so happy to be able to do is to sort of have a complete authorial control of my first movie, which I know is very rare in so many cases because you're a first-time filmmaker and you come from writing background, you come from being a playwright. And then to be given such authority and have a total control over the voice and being able to do to make the movie exactly the way I want it. To me, that's at the heart of why I love the A24 as a partner and also my producers too, Killer Films and 2AM. And I think that at the end of the day is how a movie like this could get made, which is that they had confidence in the vision that I had for the movie. And I was never faulted for being a first timer. So that's how I was able to make a movie with this kind of confidence.
That's beautiful. Well, I just want you to know that I am so excited to see this film again.
Bring your friends. I just know it's like, it can be something that like somebody might realize that they need, or maybe like years later, they'll realize they have to need it or something like that. I just know, I just want more people to be able to encounter it. And I just feel like just because, you know, I don't want it to be like that, you know?
Totally. No, for sure. Well, I can't wait. Thank you so much for your time. And it's been such a joy to get to know you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Past Lives is now in theaters in Toronto and will see its release in Montreal and Vancouver on June 16th and June 23rd across Canada. So make sure you mark those calendars. Go see it. Bring your friends, your mom, your aunt. 1,000% worth the price of admission. Thank you so much for dropping by for this Homegirl discussion. You know, the door is always open.